Can't get enough of Rebel Girls? Well, luckily, the Rebel Girls app is now completely free. That's right. You can listen to the entire library of goodnight stories for Rebel Girls ad-free. Plus, check out the app's cool features, like activities, trivia, custom playlists, and more. All parent-trusted and kids-safe. Find out more at rebelgirls.com/audio and download the Rebel Girls app today. Thanks for listening.
I don't know about you, but we love mystery stories. That's why The Upside Down Story is one of our favorite podcasts. It turns a tale flipsy-flopsy upside-downsy so that you need to listen to the clues to figure out who the mystery storyteller is. Search for The Upside Down Story on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, Drac. Rin will be out in 1 second. She's just finishing up some chores.
No worries, Mrs. Wren's mom.
Do you want to wait inside or out here on the porch, Mr. Wren's bestie?
Oh, I see what you did there, Mrs. Wren's mom. I mean, Kate. Well played.
Hey, Drac, ready to go to the park?
You bet.
Wren, aren't you forgetting something?
Soccer ball? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Water bottle? Check.
I mean your allowance.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Mom.
You two have fun. And don't spend all of your money in one place.
What a funny concept money is, eh, Wren? Someone works in some way or another for some paper to put in their pockets and then use to pay for all this stuff we want and need.
I've never really thought about it before, but you're right, Drac. We're born and raised knowing that money makes the world go round. But how did that begin, and when?
Sounds to me like we need to take a little detour on our way to the park via the Coffin of Curiosity.
We both have thirst to quench on this topic, my friend. So let's get to it. And after we've become a little bit smarter about money, we can reward ourselves by spending some on ice cream.
Aw, does that mean you're buying? Thanks, bestie.
No. My allowance, my ice cream.
Would it help my cause if I told you I haven't got my allowance money with me?
Sounds to me like you may have conveniently forgot to bring it.
Would I ever do something like that?
Yes, Drac. Yes, you would.
Busted. Okay, Wren, behind this bush is the perfect spot to drop our bikes and summon the Coffin of Curiosity.
Yeah, probably for the best not to park the coffin in the middle of a busy park.
I don't know, Wren. Maybe I could start charging people for rides in it. That would be a great way to make money. And for people to learn things they didn't know before.
Not everyone's got a thirst for knowledge like you, Drac. Maybe we should just keep the coffin's secret powers to ourselves. But, speaking of money, let's start learning.
Rightio!
What's that thing?
How I call for the coffin? A press of the button and... here it is!
Ooh, techie, I like it.
So we should probably start with how money came to be.
We'll begin with the basics. What is money at its root? A system of bartering. What that means is that in primitive times, the way goods and services were paid for was by bartering. A farmer would trade a cattle to another farmer for some chickens, that sort of thing.
Can I barter a hug for some ice cream later?
Nice try. One of the great things about using animals for barter was that they could move themselves. As in, want to trade a cow? That thing can walk itself into town. And so could other commonly traded animals like horses or sheep or even camels.
Animals seem like they'd be super valuable because of all of their uses. Supplying food and clothing. Oh, and not to mention the ability to make baby animals that could be used for future trading.
Correct. Agriculture was also a way to trade. Grains and vegetables were used for exchange in many societies. But there was also some unusual stuff that could be considered an early form of money. Like salt or spices or cowrie shells.
What's a cowrie shell?
The shell of a mollusk found in the Pacific and Indian Oceans. Although they were first used in China, their value for trade soon spread to countries all across Asia, Africa, Europe, and Oceania.
Hey, Oceania! We learned previously that those are countries like Australia, New Zealand, and many of the island nations around them.
Good memory, Jack.
So, what made the cowrie shells so popular for trading?
Unlike food, which could spoil, or animals, which could get sick while moving from one place to another, cowrie shells could be transported easily, as well as be counted and weighed as units of value. They were also durable and hard to counterfeit.
Counterfeit? What does that mean?
It's basically making an illegal copy of something that has value, like...
money!
Bingo! You know, there were some countries in Africa that used the cowrie shell as currency as recently as the early 20th century?
So, at which point did money become something more than animals, agriculture, and shells?
We're now in the 7th century, Drac. A place called Lydia, which was a kingdom with ties to Greece and is now part of modern-day Turkey. The very first coins are made and minted in this country, and they were stamped with the images of emperors and gods to prove their authenticity.
Kind of like how modern money all over the world has the faces of former presidents, kings, queens, and other world leaders on it.
Exactly like that, Drac. The use of coins was soon copied and used by Greek, Persian, Chinese, and Roman empires, and these coins were made of bronze, gold, and silver. These metals were used because of their rarity, beauty, ability to withstand damage, and of course, their value.
Gold, silver, and bronze! Feels like they'd be a lot more valuable than today's quarters, nickels, dimes, and pennies.
That's exactly why coins stopped being made with those precious metals. It became too expensive to mass-produce coins that way.
Oh, that makes sense. Get it, Ren? You see, I swapped S-E-N-S-E with C-E-N-T-S. Sense, money wordplay.
Can we get back to talking about coins already?
Drac Fact Attack.
Drac, the Fact Attack guy almost made my heart leap out of my chest.
Samesies! Fun, right?
No, not fun! Ugh, does he have to come out of nowhere and with that air horn now?
Yes, he does.
He's the fat attack guy, Rin. The attack part is important.
Fine. What's the fact, then?
The computer says that an American penny actually costs more to make than what it's worth.
Really?
Over 2 cents to make just one. Due to higher prices of copper and zinc, both of which are used to make pennies.
Okay, well, I need a minute so my heart will stop beating out of my chest.
A perfect time to take a break. And when we get back at it, we can learn about paper money and modern currency.
Sounds like a plan.
You should probably go now, Fact Attack Guy.
Okie dokie.
Find out when paper money became a thing.
The computer of computations is on it. Okay, so this is pretty interesting.
Fact attack guy interesting?
No more fact attack guy. At least for the rest of this adventure.
Point taken.
Anywho, so paper money has its origins in, once again, China. It turns out that copper coins were used in China and they had a hole in the middle, so someone could put a string through them to carry them around. But if a merchant had too many to carry, as in they were basically rich, they'd leave them with someone trustworthy who would give the merchant a piece of paper that was a receipt of how much money was left behind.
Ah, so the receipt became the first form of what a dollar bill would be.
That's right, Drac. That happened in the 7th century, but it would still be a few centuries before paper money became a permanent thing. All it took was a little copper shortage for coins to finally make the transition to paper money.
So that's when paper money was established for good?
Well, it took a few hundred years. But in the 13th century, the Song Dynasty in China began issuing a paper currency that was backed by gold or silver. And to prevent counterfeiting, there's that word again, the paper design started to become purposefully intricate.
And did the rest of the world follow suit and begin using paper money as well?
The next place to start using paper money was Europe and the United Kingdom, all due to their banks. In fact, it was the Bank of England that first started issuing banknotes in the late 17th century, and the value of each note was handwritten too.
So the people working at the banks had to write on every piece of money what it was worth? That's a heck of a lot of handwriting.
For real. It wasn't until 1745 that banknotes all became fixed amounts, and it would take another 100 years before fully printed banknotes and bills would appear.
Ew, here comes a not-so-fun fact, Ren. Did you know paper currency and coins can carry bacteria that can live on their surfaces? And there's been studies that show that currency changes hands at least 55 times a year?
Ew, we literally need to wash our hands anytime we touch money, Drac.
I will never not be doing that from now until the end of time.
That's a very long time for you vampires.
Okay, let's wrap up all this thirst for knowledge quenching with some facts about money we don't have to touch, like credit cards and banking apps.
The computer says that the first credit cards appeared in the U.S. in the 1920s, issued by oil companies and hotels to their customers. But the first credit card as we know them today didn't arrive until the 1950s with something called the Diner's Club card.
It was a card specific to going out to eat?
Yep. Invented by a businessman who forgot his wallet when he went out to dinner one night. He was so embarrassed that he and his business partner immediately came up with the card as a solution to help other people avoid that kind of situation.
Kind of like a certain bestie leaving his allowance money at home and needing someone to buy him some ice cream soon?
Sounds like you need an ice cream credit card, Drac.
Hey, that's actually an awesome idea. Let's workshop that after we're done with this adventure.
So, back to credit cards. After the success of the Diner's Club card, other companies followed suit, creating cards that could be used to purchase anything. And with the invention of the magnetic strip on the backs of credit cards, it became even easier for anyone to get one.
Well, what does that magnetic strip do?
It contains a customer's transactions and information. Today, that strip is replaced on newer credit cards by chip technology, which has better security than the magnetic strip and allows for contactless paying.
Ooh, more avoiding germs. I like it. So if someone has a credit card, they can just link that to an app on their smartphone to pay for things that way too?
That's right, Drac. Money really has come a long way since trading cows for chickens.
Well, Ren, my thirst for knowledge is quenched, which means my hunger for ice cream has replaced it.
Then let's go. And our timing is perfect. There's the ice cream truck.
Great! You keep him here while I take bat form, fly home fast, and get some money.
Hold on, Drac. I'll cover you.
Oh, you will? You're the best, Ren.
I really am. But you get to pay for us next time.
Done! Hey, wait. Having a best friend like you really is like owning an ice cream credit card. If you enjoyed today's episode of Drac, make sure to press that follow button so you can join us for the next episode right here on Go Kid Go Network.
Do you like to laugh? Who am I kidding? Who doesn't like to laugh? So, okay, if you love to laugh, you'll love Don't Break the Rules. It's a hilarious comedy improv podcast where the voice actors make up their lines on the spot and try to be the only actor who doesn't break the rules. These talented actors are great at coming up with silly scenes and stories when they follow the rules for the episode. And it gets even sillier when they accidentally break the rules. The stories are guided by suggestions from kids like you, and the episodes feature laughs, burps, and the occasional unicorn. So if you'd like to giggle and play along, be sure to listen to Don't Break the Rules wherever you listen to podcasts.